So let's take your Bibles. I'm going to read one passage, and then I'm going to share just a few brief things that'll get us started along the road. And then Debbie is going to take over. I'm sure you'll enjoy Debbie's teaching. I love to hear her teach. I love to hear her teach children. She's a great Bible storyteller. So let's read about the gospel. I know you're familiar with the gospel, but we can't get too familiar with it because that's how people get saved, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory which I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Lord, we thank you once again for this morning. Thank you for Brother Darren leading the group here and the sweet singing. Those were great children's songs, and I loved every one of them. Bless the folks here today and all the prayer requests. Help Debbie and I to share some truths that might be helpful today, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Debbie is pretty soon going to pass out some things for us, and I'm going to start with this. These are big, and it won't be interrupting. She's got some handouts to pass out. And they're about working with children, and you'll all get a benefit from them, but we can't cover everything today, but we're going to give you the whole package. So you can take it home with you and look it over and read it, so it'll be good. I'm going to start out with something simple. Debbie, could you pass out the flyer so they could have that first one as much as possible? It's an acrostic, and you'll find it on your paperwork. It's I'm going to go through the gospel. I got an acrostic. I made it bigger. Not that you folks can't see, but we were in an area where I wanted it to be a little bigger. So I got some big things there. Debbie will be giving you all one, and it has the gospel on the first thing there. You'll see it listed right there. I'll try and let her pass those out. Here, Debbie, let me have a few and pass them out. So I give me two or three or so and pass them out here so they can have it right there on the sheet. Here you are, ma'am. Glad to have you. See you today. Hello, brother. How are you today?
I'm fine, sir.
Good to see you. You got out the rest of them? Huh? Oh, you got another packet to go. She's got some more coming. Amen. We've got 20, so I'm sure we got one for everybody. As she's finishing those two, this is pretty simple here. Look at this. The gospel, the acrostic you have on there. When you're presenting the gospel in a Sunday school lesson, or even a pastor needs to be aware of this too, and I know that your Pastor Weigel is. You need to get the gospel in so people who hear the gospel and be saved. So we have it here. I'll take these off so I can turn the pages. First of all, the G, God loves you and me. That's true, isn't it? He loves you and me. And as you're teaching a Bible story or a Bible lesson maybe with children, it's good that you get these points in here, the gospel. Now, you just don't have to cram them in. You can work them in or weave them into your lesson. But first of all, God loves you and me. And then you need to think about a verse that would go with that. Naturally, John 3:16 comes to mind. And you could use John 3:16 to work with that. So when you teach the children, you got to get this in there, the gospel. He loves you and me. And then Jesus is what? He's the only perfect Son of God. Jesus never sinned. He never did anything wrong. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So Jesus without sin. All right, so you got the G-O, and you can see him on your paper. I think my pages are stuck here. And then you have sin. We've all sinned, haven't we? You and I are sinners. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." G-O-S, sin. You and I have all sinned. We've all missed the mark. And then the P, the precious blood of Jesus. We don't want to leave that out. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we've got the G-O-S-P, and just two more, pretty brief here. We've got the E, G-O-S-P-E-L. Whoop. Getting all thumbs here. The ever-living Savior. Jesus is alive, isn't he? He's alive, and we are glad that he's alive, or we wouldn't have the hope of everlasting life. So he's an ever-living savior. So think of that. Think of a verse you could go with that. There are several you could probably come up with. I think of Hebrews 7:25, I believe it is. He ever liveth to make intercessions for him. He's alive, and that's good. And then let him come in, G-O-S-P-E-L. Let him come in. You need to teach the folks about a verse for receiving Christ as a Savior. I've always liked, since I've been saved, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. So, you've got it right there on your sheet. Let's just, G-O-S-P-E-L. Can you remember that? Sure, you can remember that. But just to think about, as you teach children, as you teach grown-ups too, some of you teach grown-ups, you need to get the gospel in every Bible message. Because without the gospel in there, it just becomes a little vague. And, you know, a lot of, in the last times, the Bible talks about how people will be having messages just with itching ears, of people just say whatever they want to and don't really get the gospel in. Now, Debbie's going to elaborate more on this. I think I might have wiped a little bit of it off, but it's just my quick handwriting here. There's something you want to know, too, about telling the gospel story. You need to get a personal application for the saved child and a personal application for the unsaved child. We, in child evangelism, used to call these PAUs and PASs. So you have a personal application that you're going to put in the story that will relate to a saved child. And then you have a personal application that you put in the Bible story that relates to an unsaved child that's in the Sunday school class or a Bible club or whatever. So these are just some terms that are helpful and good to know. And it's nothing deep or profound, but just think of P-A-U, P-A-S. Personal application for the saved child, personal application for the unsaved child. Now, that I'm going to stop with that right now and let Miss Debbie come. And I know she has several things to share. And we'd like to, you know, have more time in the seminar, but we're just trying to do the best we can today and share what we can, and we'll watch the clock. Now, do you want to be there, hon, or yeah. Is that fine?
That's fine. And I gave each one of your kids one, but I mean, you could just share one of you, but I thought they might want to look at them.
So, well, yeah.
Because we made plenty.
Brother Seth, this mic will work good.
It's fine.
Okay, sorry.
Usually when we have a training class, you know, we take a little longer, of course, because we have like a four or five hour teacher training class. So what we thought we'd do is just give you some ideas. And it isn't just for working with kids. It's working with any group. And one thing we like to encourage those that preach the word. We just recently had a training class at a Burmese church. And we just encouraged the folks there as they taught their children. And I don't know if you know much about the Burmese, but a lot of families have come here from Burma. And the children, of course, have learned English in school. But some of the grown-ups haven't yet. So it was kind of a little different training class we had that day because, you know, some of the things you and I are so used to saying. So we tried to just give some ideas. So basically, the things that we're giving you today are just some things that we thought might encourage you as you work with children, teenagers, grown-ups, or just to help you as you try to witness to others. So I hope that you don't think we're trying to overload you with anything. We just wanted to give you some suggestions and ideas. And, you know, the gospel, if you think about it, it's really how you're telling people that God loves them, that he sent us a Savior, a perfect Savior. He gave his precious blood. He rose again. And each one of us need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. So the gospel is basically that. So don't let these letters scare you and you think, wow, I have to make sure I do this when I'm teaching. The more that you teach, the more that you'll see that these thoughts can just flow through your lessons. And as you're witnessing to someone, when you give someone a track, you're giving them the gospel, aren't you? So the things that go with these, we always have verses with them. But do you know what? What verse could you use that would cover every single one of these letters? Which one of these verses on this paper could you use? One verse that would cover everything, every letter.
John 3:16.
Very good. John 3:16. Let's say it together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now just think, you got the gospel right there. His love, his only Son, his precious blood, he rose again, and what's he want to give us? Everlasting life. So I know sometimes it's hard for people to memorize verses, and it seems like the older we get, the harder it is. Sometimes a verse you might have known, you think, wow, what happened to that verse? I forgot it. So, and as far as the PAU and the PAS, basically it's this. As you're talking and teaching, you want to encourage the person that has not asked Jesus to be their Savior to know why they need a Savior. Personal application for an unsaved. You want them to know they're sinners. They need a Savior. To look for a place in your story, your lesson, where you can encourage them that they're lost, but there's hope. That's what a PAU is. And you don't have to say, now I'm going to give you a PAU. You don't do that, do you? There again, it's just the way you're talking and teaching. A PAS is talking to those that are Christians, that have asked Jesus to save them. You're trying to encourage them, maybe to witness, to read their Bible, to pray, to be in church. When you teach a lesson, you just look for something in the lesson that will encourage a Christian to want to live for the Lord. So don't let these things scare you and make you think, well, wow, I'm not doing very well in my teaching. Because I think you'll be amazed how that you've been doing it. You just don't realize it. So I hope these things will encourage you. Now, if you would, I just want you to just look at the papers, because I'm not going to go over them. I just want you to just to have them, because I went through our teaching things, and I just picked out some highlights that I thought might encourage you, because some of you don't teach a class, but you talk to others. Some of you work with kids. Some of you might work with teens. Some of you might go to a nursing home or teach just as a mom teaching your kids. So we just hope that they'll just encourage you. So the first page, of course, talks about the gospel and the PAU and the PAS. The second page, you see the hand. We just thought you might enjoy having the plan of salvation. Because, you know, you don't have to use all these verses. There again, you could go back to John 3:16. But I like visuals. I remember things better that I see. And a lot of people are visual learners. They remember things. And so when you're talking to someone, you could just point to, you could have them put their hand up, and you could point to their hands and bring out each thing. Now, you wouldn't have to, but I've used this with adults, because it reminds them of what I'm talking about. So, everyone, just for a moment, take your hand and make sure your thumb is pointing towards you. Okay, number one, the Bible says God loves us. Number two, the Bible says we're sinners. Then you take your other hand and make a cross with your tall finger. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. The ring finger, we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And the pinky, when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you don't have to do it 7 days a week. One time. Because what does he promise? Everlasting life. And in Hebrews 13:5, because see, you may not have a Bible with you when you're witnessing to someone. You might just say, the Bible says. You might not remember the word Hebrews. But the Bible says, I will never leave you. Because see, you want to back up what you're saying with the Bible. When we used to be in Germany, me and some of the girls would go out and stand by the post office and pass out things. a lot of times the military men and women from the Army base would go into the post office to get a cell phone. And so it was a perfect place to pass out things to invite them to come visit our church that was just down the road. But it was also a perfect chance to meet German people that were going into the post office. And one day, here comes this sweet young lady walking down the street. And she's German, but she speaks perfect English. And she stopped to see she said, "What are you doing?" She was very interested in what we girls were doing, because I had German girls with me and I had American girls with me that were married to soldiers. And I told her, and can you believe it? That day that I went with the girls to pass out things for the church, guess what I didn't bring with me? My Bible. I didn't have my Bible. And so I said to this sweet girl, I said, "Would you trust that what I'm telling you is the truth from the Bible?" She said, "I will." And you know what I used that day to give her the plan of salvation? I used her hand. And I kept referring to the verses. And I kept referring to what the Bible said. And how sweet it was that day, that precious girl, her name was Sherry. Sherry said she was ready to ask Jesus to be her Savior that day. And she wasn't embarrassed to pray right there on the street corner. God sent her to us, and we were able to keep in touch with her, and she started coming to our church. She had a boyfriend that was an army man. So we just want to encourage you today that God has given us tools to use. And you young people, when you get to be a counselor, just think how God can use simple things that we have. When you talk to your friends, when we talk to people we care about. So the hand is just a tool. So I hope the verses, and you know what? You need to pick a verse you feel comfortable with. These verses, you may say, I can think of a better one. So the next page, just some more teaching ideas, just about preparing a lesson, teaching a lesson. So things that you can maybe encourage you in your teaching. The next page that has the little colored part on it, I thought you might want to have some things to encourage you to when you're working with Christians, how to encourage them. So some of these things I took from Child Evangelism Fellowship teaching ideas. So when I do borrow something from someone, I try to give them credit that it wasn't just me and my smartness. It came from other sources. The next page, extra ideas and teaching tips, just some things there. But I want you to land on the very last page. And you'll see the very last page says, New Testament story, putting the gospel in the story. Teaching a PAU. What's a PAU? A challenge for the what? Oh, I see. You guys have already got it. What's a PAS? Something for the saved. Okay, you see, you guys are on it. A PAU challenge to the unsaved to want to trust the Lord Jesus, and a PAS to encourage the Christian child. Now, we weren't too sure what you were teaching in your Sunday school curriculum, but Steve wanted me to take the Christmas story and give you some ideas. So you'll need a pencil or a pen, and you'll need to turn to Luke chapter 2. And what I did, I just made some suggestions of where you could teach this story and put the gospel. So you see you have Luke chapter 2, verse 4 to 12, and you have the letters, G-O-S-P-E-L. And then you have a place for the PAU and the PAS and how to give an invitation. So, I don't know where you are in your curriculum. Maybe you're soon going to be teaching this lesson. Usually a lot of churches do this time of year begin to teach the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias, and then you go into the Christmas story. So, wherever you're at. But these are just suggestions. So, look at Luke chapter 2. And, you know, the neat thing about this story, it has everything you need for the gospel and for a challenge for Christians and those that are not Christians. So, in verse number seven, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I don't know how you feel about writing in your Bible. Some people do, some people don't. I write in my Bible. So if you could see my Bible right now, you would see that I have letters and I have things underlined to remind me the gospel. If you don't believe in doing that in your Bible, then you need to have a mental note, something to remind you. But in verse number 7, I thought it would be a good place to put the G. So next to the G, put verse 7. Because in John 3, and there again, see what I would do as I was teaching this, and I would probably be using flashcards, of course, or flannel graph, you know. I would just read that verse. And one thing, make sure that whoever you're teaching knows where you got this from. But it's not you, it's from God's Word. So I would encourage you to have your Bible open. And you know, to keep people's attention, keep kids' attention, have them read a verse with you. Or you have them read it out loud with you, or have them repeat it. But somehow, get them involved in the teaching part so that you've got their attention. Because you know, sometimes when the pastor is preaching, did you ever notice some people will be going, well, see, that'd be a perfect time for the pastor to say, and read this verse with me. And see, wow, they're awake now. So make sure people understand that you're using the Word of God. But in verse 7, I see the G. I see God's love. I see that he kept the promise of John 3:16. So next to your G, this is what I would put. I would put verse 7, John 3:16, God kept his promise of love. Because just think, all through the Old Testament, God kept saying, he's coming, he's coming. And here he is. Here's the promise kept. And see, the more you teach, the more that you use the gospel. See, right away, you could think of another way as you're teaching this verse. See, this isn't even where I put my PAS, but I see a PAS right here. I see something for the saved child, for the saved Christian, the saved teenager or grown up. Because here in verse 7, God keeps his promises. And whatever they've been praying about and reading in the Bible. So see how you can just, the more that you use these thoughts, the more you can say, wow, I see that. Because you know, it was so neat at the Burmese church. As we kept talking about this, we used the story of the nobleman's son. And it was just neat because all of a sudden I could tell that they were beginning to read it. And because I didn't tell them where to put it, I had them do it on their own. And it was really neat how some of them, they picked a different verse than I used. So it was just cool to see them doing that. So in verse 7, I see the G and I see a PAS. Okay, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, by verse 11 in my Bible, well, first of all, next to verse 7 in my Bible, I have G-O. The promise was kept. God sent his only son, G-O, and he sent Jesus because he loved us. That's where I put G-O. Next to verse 11, I have G-O-E-P. There's God's love again, the only son of God. Why did Jesus come? To give his precious blood and die on the cross for us. And he rose again. So next to verse 11, I have G-O-E-P to remind people that Jesus died and rose again and that he gave his precious blood for our sins. Now, what do some people have to understand? What do children, teenagers, and grown-ups have to understand before they can ask Jesus to save them? that we're sinners. Now say this with me. Sin is anything we think, we say, or we do that would not please God. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it yet when talking to people and listening to people. People don't understand what sin is. Our world has changed right to wrong and wrong to right, and things are out of control, aren't they? So don't just assume someone knows they're a sinner. They need to know what sin is. And of course, if you're talking to someone older, you can refer to the Ten Commandments. None of us have kept the Ten Commandments. None of us have obeyed what God says. We're all sinners. So make sure that you've talked about what sin is. So verse 11 is where I brought out that Jesus was the only Son of God, and God sent him to be our Savior. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10 is where I brought out the S for sin. And the angel said unto them, remember the angel's talking to these shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now the reason I put the S there for sin, what did these shepherds need that we need? They needed salvation. Weren't they sinners? Now, have you ever read the story about the shepherds of Bethlehem? The shepherds of Bethlehem took care of the sheep that were going to be used for the sacrifice at the temple. Did you know that? It's a wonderful story if you would ever look it up and read about it. These shepherds of Bethlehem had a very special job. Now just think, these men had been told the Messiah was coming. And here's the angel saying to them, "He's here." These shepherds needed a Savior. Now that would be a perfect place for you to talk about what sin is. Because these shepherds needed a Savior because they were sinners. And we need a Savior because we're sinners. The P, I went back to verse 11. Because, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That would be a perfect place to tell whoever you're talking to remind them why Jesus came to die. Because see, this precious baby was going to grow up and do miracles. He was going to teach. But he had one goal in mind, didn't he? To go to the cross for me and you. So in verse 11, I went. See, what I do, I just kind of jump around. I just kind of jump around in my teaching. You may not like to do that. You have to feel comfortable with what you're doing. So verse 11 is where I thought we could bring out the P. But I try to put the P and the E together. Because you know what? I don't think everyone understands that Jesus rose again. We need to make sure they understand that he rose. He conquered death. Because he conquered death, he can conquer anything in our life. So usually when I talk about the precious blood of Christ, I talk about the E, for he's the ever-living Savior. In verse number 11, again, that's where I thought it would be a good place to, as you end your story, and you start talking about getting saved. Because when you read verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." We need to do something about this Savior. And a good place to say in your teaching, as you're winding your story up and you're coming to the end of your story, have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? So I put the L there for let him in. You might see another place, another verse where it's better. But to me, that's a good place to start reminding them they need to be saved. So verse 11 is where I suggested to put the L for let him in. And I wrote it like this: will you accept the Savior? And then I put Romans 10:13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But there again, you could go back to John 3:16 again. "For God so loved the world So be comfortable as you teach. Be comfortable as you talk. If you feel comfortable just using one or two verses, that's good. You want to not be nervous about this and think, wow, I don't have my Bible. That's why it's good to memorize some verses, isn't it? And have them tucked away in your mind to use. So the PAS, I suggest it in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In verse 10, the reason I thought that would be a good place for the talking to the unsaved and challenging them, we all need the good news of Jesus Christ. And whoever you're talking to, they need this Savior, don't they? They need this Savior that the angel was telling the shepherds about. So that's where I thought would be a good way to challenge. And then my PAS was in verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, what's a PAS? Okay, this is where I thought would be a good place to challenge Christians. Angel gave directions how to find the Savior. The angel said, you'll find this Messiah, this Savior, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The angel gave them directions, didn't he? Because they were out in the field. They needed to find. So I took this, and my thought was this. God has given us directions in the Bible. He's told us how to live, how to die in the Bible. He's given us directions. See how you can challenge Christians? God's Word. Yes, ma'am.
And in verse 10, the fear not, an awful lot of Christians, especially my age of a person, they're not casting their burden on the Lord.
That's right.
They're constantly fearful.
Perfect.
Whereas if you trust God, He's giving you what you need in the Scriptures to guide your life.
Right. Hey, thank you. And you know, a good verse that would go with that would be 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Or a verse that's special to you about, you know, like in Philippians 4, look at all the wonderful promises of don't be anxious, don't be afraid. You know, that's good. Thank you. That's a good idea. But in verse 12, I just see a way to encourage Christians to read the Bible, to find out what God says. Do you ever just sit and watch people in church when the pastor says, look up a verse, and they can't find it? Now, I admit to you that sometimes I struggle finding some of the prophets. I'll think, where is Jonah? Where is... But sometimes just a verse that you and I just have known, because people have Bibles in their houses, but a lot of times they're just shut. So I just saw a good PAS there. But that's good. Nancy had a good one. That was good. That's a good idea, because you're right. Christians are anxious. God says, don't worry, and we say, I need to worry about that. So that's good. So bringing this story to a conclusion down here, just as the shepherds found Jesus in the manger, you can have the gift of everlasting life if you would ask Jesus to be your Savior. That's how you can bring your thoughts to a conclusion. And I don't know how you would give an invitation. You can encourage them to see you after class, or go to the pastor. Or you could have them pray right at their seat and just say, would you like to ask Jesus to be your Savior today? And if you're just encouraging Christians, if everybody in your class was a Christian and you knew it, maybe you're, like Nancy said, refer to being burdened, worried. Encourage them to pray and give this to the Lord. What do you want the student to learn from this lesson? I put that Jesus was God's gift to us. If we love Him, we will live for Him. Ask yourself, what do I want to accomplish in what I'm teaching? When you go home that day, did you leave something with whoever you were talking to number one, encourage them to get saved? Or number two, did you give them something to encourage them as a believer? So these are just some ideas. I hope these things will encourage you. Thank you for letting us come and teach you. And if we ever could come back and have a whole training class, we'd love to. if Pastor Weigel would allow us, because we really enjoy doing that. So, because the way I look at it, it doesn't matter how young or old you are. I think God can help us use these to help us just in everyday life with things we do. So you can keep those packets if you want, young people, or you can just let Mom keep one, whatever you want to do, because I made extra. It's entirely up to you. So thank you for your time. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, please help each one of us to look for chances to share the gospel with others, from the young people to the very oldest in this room. Help us to be burdened for people that are lost and not ready to meet you. Pray you'll bless Pastor Steve as he preaches next, and please watch over Pastor Weigel and his precious wife and all their family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.